It's time for JT the Brick.
Reset the show. This is the home of the Raider Nation, where Raider fans have a voice on this. I love putting fans on the radio. I love hearing emotion. I love hearing passion. I love hearing people, if they're critical or they're happy, whatever there is, I like to hear people to know I'm on the radio, not guests if they're listening and wondering if they're out there. And hopefully I bring that to the radio show. Fandom, fandemonium, getting people excited about sports.
JT the Brick.
I care about going to games and winning games. That is it. I like to pause, have a sip of water, and talk to a Raider fan, either in a chat or over the phones, who has something smarter to say than I do, which many do. More knowledgeable fans than me, I admit that. More passionate fans than me? Yeah, there's a number of them. But I'm the gateway to getting everybody in here to let it rip. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. Got it? That's the show.
And now,
fandemonium.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, everybody, hour number two of the show. JT, schedule release in 4 hours. 4 hours now, you'll know the Raiders' schedule, home and on the road, the dates, the bye week, national games, and all of that. And a lot of people know some of this already. Other people know a lot. Some know a little. We can't leak it here because we're the flagship. We are partners with the Raiders, and that would not be good. So if you think you got the games and you know it, keep it to yourself or go on your message boards or your chats or your group chats with your buddy and get a head start. Get a head start on the plane tickets. Get a head start on the roadies, the road trips, if you want to go. And we'll see. We got a lot of work to do here in the next month or two. I mean, we got to do our summertime radio, the top 10 Raider games of all time. We're putting that together. Matter of fact, I got a meeting on that today, and we'll go through that. Number two, we got Coaches versus Cancer this weekend with Lon Kruger. He's going to join us in a minute. And then I have a lot of events, and we're going to go to Costa Mesa. We just don't know the details yet for Raiders training camp. Portion of that will be in Costa Mesa to break the heat here in Vegas and go have a good time as the players practice and get away from home. And then the preseason schedule is going to come out. And I got to play a big role in the preseason with the pre and the post. And I do the radio play-by-play as Jason Horowitz goes to the TV side as he builds his brand to a very high level already with the Raiders. So we got a lot going on here. And we'll mix in some time off, the summer and family. My parents get in on Saturday night. So I'm looking forward to seeing them for 10 days. I'm going to spend some time with my mom and dad. My dad will turn 86, and my son will turn 23 on the same day. So we're looking forward to that. There'll be some golf, some days by the pool, and hopefully some good meals. So it's going to be a fun couple of weeks here. But I'm on edge. I'm on edge because I have the schedule here in front of me. I know the schedule. I do every year. That's not a big deal. I can't leak it, and I'm going to have to wait till tomorrow. I'm good keeping secrets, Bobby, when it's work. When it's work, you know, when it's work and it's your money and it's your job, it's very easy to keep secrets. It's not easy to keep secrets if you're having some cerveza and you mix in a shot de Patron or our great tequila Commissario. You mix in a few of those and all of a sudden loose lips sink ships. But not today. No cervezas. Just sit kicking back in the studio here as we open up hour number two. So tomorrow, and then tonight, I'll do a live stream with Eddie Pascal over at the Raider facility. And that'll be fun as we go through that. And I don't think the focus of what we're going to do tonight is going to be breaking down the games. We're not breaking down the games. We're just looking at the schedule. Where the schedule is going to be as Lon Kruger is about to join us as we get going here with hour number two of the show. Hockey playoffs, Avalanche and the Stars game five. The Rangers are feeling a little bit of heat. My Knicks won in the NBA, and Nikola Jokic had one of the best games I've ever seen. He's now a top 15 player of all time. He won the MVP, got the award, went out there, and had a great game. One of the players on the Wolves said, I just had a, quote, laugh. Jokic was so good. Well, the Wolves were not ready for that game because Denver is so good. Denver's so good, and they were on death's door, down 0-2. They were down 0-2. And they should have been beat, and they weren't beat. And now Denver's coming back. And look, if Denver wins, and I think they're going to win four in a row after losing the first two, then they're going to wait on Oklahoma City and Dallas, and I think they're far superior than both teams. But when you get to the NBA playoffs, you see a lot of teams put up a fight. The Knicks are the best example of that. The Knicks are playing extremely hard, extremely intense, and that's why they're getting places, because they're playing hard. The NBA, when the playoffs come around, the NBA playoffs are great because everybody plays hard. We don't see that in the regular season every night. It's called load management. But when the playoffs come around, man, every possession is incredible overall. So that's where we are here, hour number two with the show as we continue on, taking your calls as we get rolling here. 702-365-9200 as we continue on. And other than that, I'm pretty good. So if you're joining us late, here's what we're looking to hear from you. Which game do you believe is going to be the one game that you have to see? Home or on the road? We haven't done that yet. And the schedule comes out, so I got to kill time till the schedule comes out. But that's one of the things I could talk about because I have the schedule here in front of me, and I'm wondering what game, because you don't know the dates. I hate to play hide and seek. You don't know the dates, but what's the one game that you're going to pencil in no matter what? No matter what? No matter what the date is, early December, end of October, you see this, you're going to go, hey, you're going to tell your wife, your girlfriend, your partner, your friend, we got to go to this game. Which one will that be? 702-365-9200. Other than that, the Raiders having all their draftees signed is a good thing overall. And as I opened up the show today, we found out that Netflix will have two Christmas games. And I thought more people would be upset by that. I think everybody's starting to come to the realization that that's what's going to happen going forward. There's going to be more and more pay-per-view games, and you're going to have to deal with it or not watch the games. If you don't want to watch the games, then don't buy the pay-per-view. And if pay-per-view bothers you, then watch it in a sports bar. That's the way to take a look at it. Lon Kruger joins us, our host for Coaches vs. Cancer, the Las Vegas Golf Classic. It's one of the proudest things I'm involved with every year, and this is fantastic. It's the 17th annual Coaches vs. Cancer Las Vegas Golf Classic, May 19th to the 21st, and Lon is kind enough to join us. Coach, we're doing it again, and congratulations on bringing everybody back to Vegas. How are you?
We're doing great, and appreciate your help, and you've been a part of this for a long time, so we appreciate you promoting the fight against cancer and participating in the receptions on Sunday and Monday night.
Coach, I love doing this for a number of reasons, to be around you and your family and to be around the family you brought me to with, you know, friends of yours from Oklahoma, a lot of friends from Vegas, from Kansas State. You know, you've been around and you coached in a bunch of different spots where you were super successful, and you got a lot of friends who support you for this. They end up buying foursomes, they come out to Vegas, and they're able to make donations, and that's how we're able to pull it off and write a check to the American Cancer Society.
It worked out well. It worked out well. Coaches nationwide, they do a great job using their platform to promote the fight against cancer, not only to raise dollars, but to encourage screening, and which allows for early detection, and sponsoring rides for cancer patients to radio and chemo treatments. Coaches do a fantastic job and been doing it for over 30 years and raised over $155 million. And again, we just got to keep doing that and making progress, but we still got a long way to go in the fight against cancer.
Hey, Coach, you know, a lot of the coaches also have been affected by cancer. They've had cancer. They've won. They beat the battle, or they lost some family members. And when you get a bunch of people in the room who are becoming family and they can tell stories like that, I think that's very important because we want to talk about the victories, but every once in a while we lose a warrior, and we lost Toby Keith. And I wanted to share a majority of our time on that and your friendship with him and how that came about and all of his voluntary work during the years here with Coaches vs. Cancer.
Yeah, Toby was a special guy. He did so many things that people don't even know about. Whenever there's a storm that went through Oklahoma, he'd do a performance to raise funds for a community. Bob Hope, traditionally was the guy that traveled overseas to entertain the troops on the USO trips. And Toby Keith actually went more times than Bob Hope did, and no one really knew that. But he's a great guy and obviously a terrific entertainer, a super family, and certainly will be missed. But, his legacy is pretty powerful.
Absolutely. Lon Kruger is our guest. We get a chance again for Shadow Creek, Southern Highlands, Cascada, and TPC Summerlin. That's a big deal as these golf courses are involved in any way they can. And you know, Coach, how hard this is living out here to get a golf course like this. The quality of these golf partners, including the partners that you have with the casinos and the people that donate their time here. It really has to be a well-oiled machine from XSOs, the success, everyone who helps us out behind the scenes, getting the coaches on here. And I just feel like this one could be the biggest because more and more people who are coming back have been here before and they understand their role.
Well, those folks you mentioned are great partners. Obviously, Sanford Health out of South Dakota, presenting sponsor, MGM Resorts, a terrific as a host facility. All the golf courses you mentioned, DJ Allen's Exos of Success folks, Bridget Byrne, they do a great job on the ground here in pulling it off. But, it's a great time. 3 days of great fun. But folks that come, don't lose sight of the reason we're here. And even though they have a great time in Vegas, they understand that we're fighting. We're here to fight cancer, and folks do a good job of keeping that front and center.
Well, Coach, a couple of basketball tidbits before we go. Since I've known you, and you were an assistant before you went to Atlanta, become the head coach of the Hawks with the Knicks before that, I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and the Knicks have not been relevant for quite some time this deep into the playoffs. When you turn on a Knicks game and you see Jalen Brunson getting pressed for 90 feet and then taking the ball to the rim and going through some of the trees there, I mean, the Garden is alive in this series against Indiana.
Well, they certainly are. And Brunson, what a great story. And just a terrific competitor and, carrying that group, through the playoffs. It's fun to watch because he's hard to guard and he's playing with such a high level of confidence and huge performance again last night and chance to close it out back in Indy.
Coach, as a former player and being around basketball your whole life, can you compare Nikola Jokic to anybody else? The lumbering style that he gets up and down and then the finesse of the way he finishes, but then he's a threat outside the arc, and he's a great passer. I mean, he's starting to become, he's in the conversation of one of the greats of all time, and last night he was awarded before the victory his third MVP.
Well, and deserving of all the accolades, because to your point, I don't know that there's many people like him, because he's a huge guy. He brings the ball out of backcourt. He initiates their offense. He's impossible to guard one-on-one in the low post. And when you double him, he's a terrific passer. So that's a pretty healthy combination of skill, and that's why he's maybe arguably the best player in the world right now.
Yeah, Coach, one more. You grew up in the more physical brand of basketball as a college player and coaching. It was much more physical, and then the advent of the three, where everybody seems to take a three, even seven-footers, and now Steph Curry and the effect that he's had on the sport where there's just a lot more threes. I see teams when they're up by 10 taking threes, and teams get back into the games on quick runs because they can do it hitting threes. What do you like about this style of the NBA that you're seeing in the playoffs in 2024?
Well, the game, even though it was more physical back away, I don't know that there's as much contact even back then as there is today. Mm. And the percentages say, there's so much contact in the low post. Jokic can finish, but not many low post guys can finish through all that contact, which makes an open three-pointer a higher percentage shot. Because it's just percentage-wise, you make a third of those, and they equal half of the two-pointers. So it's pretty easy math to say it's a better percentage play to shoot the three-pointer than it is a two-pointer when you're getting banged around a lot.
Well, Coach, I always appreciate you. With more than 5,000 coaches engaged in education awareness and fundraising activities, Coaches vs. Cancer, the program, currently raises approximately $10 million annually. And since 93, the initiative has raised over $155 million. Your event here in Vegas with all the volunteers and the sponsors. Thanks for including me again, and great to talk to you on the radio. I'll see you Sunday night.
JT, great seeing you. I'd be negative to not mention Comp Cancer here locally.
Yes.
He's such a great job. And Norm Clark is our mission cancer survivor this year. So we've had a couple of opportunities to spend some time with Norm, and what a great story his is. But thanks very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. I'll see you Sunday. That's Lon Kruger every year. We talk to him a few times a year. And, yes, they'll be honoring Norm Clark. And if anybody in Vegas, you should know who Norm is, one of the great entertainment warriors and writers this town has ever seen. So looking forward to seeing Norm again. All right, so I'm open the rest of the way. We're open the rest of the way. Richard Deitch might join us too, the media, the great media writer with the big podcast in media. We got a call out for him, and that's what we're doing. We're waiting on schedule release. That will come up here. Rory McIlroy dodging divorce questions at the PGA Championship there. That's very interesting. The PGA Championship will kick off tomorrow, a major. I like Brooks Koepka. I'm not a live guy, but I like Koepka. I like Ryder Cup Americans. I root for Ryder Cup Americans, Americans who play for our country. And Brooks Koepka is one of those. And the odds are really unique on him. I'll get to the odds on Rahm and Koepka. And someone should sprinkle something on that. And Scottie Scheffler, his wife just gave birth to their first baby. He had some time off. And before he took time off, he was the hottest golfer in the world. He was going on a Tiger Woods-type run. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. Is he going to have a little rust for the last couple of weeks? Or is he going to pick up where he left off? And we'll see what happens. Games are starting to get put out. Netflix is going to jump in. Along with, how could Netflix let Amazon Prime be involved in NFL without them? So Netflix is going to stream the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Ravens and the Texans on Christmas. That's just a general media question. How do you feel about this, everybody, with your movie companies getting involved now? Your moving companies and the companies that deliver your laundry detergent and toothbrushes to your house, Amazon, getting involved in football. Just more money for Roger Goodell. And the NFL's in the business of making money. Can you believe what the owners are making? The owners, you know how excited you must be to be an owner of an NFL team, knowing that Netflix is involved now with Jeff Bezos and Amazon and Peacock, and everybody's sitting there trying to give you more money? It's incredible to see. Thanks again to Lon Kruger. Fantastic job. Coaches versus Cancer, Las Vegas, the Golf Classic. I'll be out there Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. 3-day volunteer effort that I love doing. And I appreciate Coach with his kind words as he just joined us. Ooh. Ooh, Bobby, I got the schedule. I don't want to give away any emotion. I don't want Raider fans saying, ooh, JT, there's angst, or JT's happy, or JT's sad, or JT's weird. You say that often anyway. But we will have an opportunity tomorrow on this show and tonight to break it out and break it down.
Yeah, we got 32 Raiders here. I don't care if you're the 13th pick or the guy that's trying out. They got a Raider uniform on. We're going to treat them accordingly. They earn the right to stay here. They earn the right to get more reps. Just excited to get them here, man. It's just good to get a full roster. You know, 90 guys on the roster. Now we can kind of like put this thing together, right? Start to build this team and what we wanted to look for the 24 season.
Antonio Pierce, schedule release tonight, 5 o'clock in the building. I'll be there for that. Wonder what Coach thinks now, because he's got the schedule. He knows it, and he's going to have to start planning and looking at it. When the schedule is released, there is a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety because you look at teams and you have an opinion on every team. That could be completely wrong. Like, how do you look at the Rams, Cincinnati, or New Orleans on the schedule this year? I look at them all as teams the Raiders can beat, not teams that I'm in fear of. And the fear is not a good word, but the teams that you would be concerned of right now in the NFL, the teams that if they were on your schedule, most people would say you're going to lose, would be Kansas City, the 49ers, Detroit, and Baltimore. Okay, those would be the guys. Those would be the guys that you would think would be the ones. If you had the Niners on your schedule, home or on the road, Baltimore, who the Raiders have in Kansas City, you'd be concerned about that. And I'll throw in Detroit. Other than that, it's pretty wide open. I mean, Cincinnati and Buffalo are not these legendary elite teams. You're looking at certain teams. Some look better than others on paper. But I like to look at teams like Carolina. We got Carolina at home. Are they a cupcake? Coaches aren't going to say they're a cupcake. They got a football team. They got some good football players. But you would hope that'd be a game, and especially Denver. You know, I want to see Bo Nix early. I think the Raiders can beat Bo Nix and beat him up. I like rookie quarterbacks when they haven't played yet. So I would hope that the Raiders would win against Carolina, Denver twice, the Chargers once. That's four wins. That's four wins as we open up the season, and you need six more the rest of the year to make the playoffs. But you better win those games that I just mentioned because they're big ones. Richard Jeitz joins us. He has one of the biggest podcasts in all of media at SI. And what's interesting about him is he puts out media content from The Athletic on top of that. And there's a lot happening with the media when it comes to the NFL right now. Richard, thanks for a few minutes. I appreciate it with your schedule. Let's begin with Brady, who was at the upfronts for Fox. Pretty interesting that Brady's going through with this and going to broadcast for Fox.
Yeah, I mean, we know he'll be there for week one, JT. And after that, we'll see how it flies. But yeah, no, so your audience knows the upfronts are when all the networks sort of bring out all their celebrities and on-air talent from all their different parts, entertainment, sports, news, and they put on a little bit of a dog and pony show in front of ad buyers and media buyers to try to convince people to buy advertising. This is essentially how that business works. And, you know, Fox paid an inordinate amount of money for Tom Brady, so they're going to use him on these kind of, you know, major corporate events. So Tom Brady came out with Michael Strahan, presented to the audience. They brought out Aaron Andrews, Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Rinaldi, his colleagues on the A-team. And then they announced that the first game for that group would be Cowboys-Browns. The interesting thing here, and the NFL really did Fox a solid, is they made that game a single game in the doubleheader window, meaning that the Fox game will not be competing against the CBS game in the late window. So Fox has the Cowboys, far and away the most viewed team in the league. They have the Browns, and they have a 4:25 game that's not competing against anything. So not only will there be curiosity seekers in terms of how, in terms of checking out Tom Brady, the broadcaster, you're also getting the Cowboys in a solo window. So you're probably looking at a minimum of 25 million viewers and then go up from there.
Richard Jeitz is our guest. So this is interesting to me because I think Peyton Manning's a better broadcaster and Tom's got the podcast that does really well on SiriusXM. We saw the Brady roast, which he was exceptional at Brady in his rebuttal. But I think the bar was set, at least for me, Richard, at Tony Romo. When Romo came in, and Romo quickly became number one and the highest paid analyst, and you got Aikman and Chris Collinsworth, and we're all competing, and you know the numbers better than I do. Romo, year one, knocked it out of the park. No one believed that he could be that good at that level. And then calling the plays before the plays even were called by the quarterbacks, it was the perfect storm. What is the bar now set for Brady? How good does Brady have to be year one?
Yeah, it's a great question. You're correct. Tony Romo, I think, had the greatest rookie year of any broadcaster, by the way, of any sport, not just the NFL, but of any sport. So, you know, I don't know if I would call it a problem because, you know, we're talking about first world problems here. But the issue for Brady is that he has to be good right away because he's slotted into the A chair. He's replacing a guy who got incredibly good reviews in Greg Olsen. And the public now, particularly with social media, honestly doesn't really allow you to have a really, really bad first game. I'll give you a great example. That's Jason Witten. You know, we're not so far removed from ESPN bringing Jason Witten into Monday Night Football. Everybody thought he'd be can't miss, you know, Hall of Fame caliber tight end for the most famous team in football, the Cowboys. And he wasn't ready. You know, in an ideal world, you would put Tom Brady on the number two or number three team, give him a year to get, you know, to learn television, and then you move them up to the top team. This is what they used to do back in the, you know, the 90s and the 80s. But that can't happen anymore when you're paying a guy close to $40 million a year. So, you know, that first game, the reality, unfair as it is, the pressure's significant. And he just has – I'm not saying he has to have a Romo game. He just can't have a bad game. If he has a bad game, then all of a sudden you start living with a lot of, you know, social media commentary. You start getting some bad reviews, and that stuff can snowball – pretty quick. So in many ways, he kind of just has to be above average, and then you go from there.
Richard, I wanted to ask you about the money coming in. Jared Goff getting $212 million. Brady, because of the size of the TV contract that Fox wants, so they have to overpay for everything, the rights, even a guy like Brady, who they hope it's going to pay off. When you talk about this on your podcast and you write about it, it's insanity now with the Peacock deal, the new Saturday deal that just went down on NBC, if you could tell us a little bit about that, and Amazon. We know that the players are splitting the revenue with the owners, and all this revenue streaming is going up. Is there any bump in the road, like a real estate market reset or a stock market correction, or is this continuing to go up, up, and up the rest of our life?
Yeah, I laugh at that because I used to live in New York City. So, you know, the old adage is basically buy real estate in New York because it'll never go down. I don't think the NFL has a ceiling, to just be very honest. I think the NFL at this point is the most important content that exists in America, not sports content, like content. And so they have leverage when it comes to what we call the traditional linear places like ESPN, Fox, NBC, because much of their entire business model is really centered around the NFL. That's sort of, in many ways, what's keeping these guys afloat, as many as many consumers obviously go to Netflix and Amazon, et cetera. Now, obviously, the streamers are getting involved in the NFL. So I don't see it. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. Mm. Look at what the Peacock game, a single Peacock game, what NBC Universal paid last year to the NFL. One game, you know, more than $100 million. Netflix, based on what looks to be credible reporting, looks like they're going to get one, if not two Christmas games. And that number will be, again, in nine figures, if not, I don't know if it'll get to a billion, but it'll be a nine-figure purchase. So we're talking about single inventory getting these kind of dollars if you're the NFL. They'll be able to, very shortly, I think, put out a package of international games that they can try to get one of the companies to buy. And, you know, if you're an Amazon or something like that, you know, that'll be pretty attractive. These are the games that used to be on the NFL Network, but the NFL is trying in many ways to sort of dump the NFL Network. And so, you know, that's a long-winded answer for you to say that, no, I don't think there's a rights. There may be a sports media rights bubble coming one day. It will not come for the NFL in the next decade plus.
Richard Deitz is our guest. Great columnist. Unbelievable work he does on the sports media podcast, a much listen. I got to follow up on that. Quick one on the NFL Network and the NFL. Help me out with what you just kind of slid in there with what's going to happen. Good Morning Football, the West Coast, wanting to be more West Coast. The John Gruden case is massive. I can't get any coverage on the maybe the biggest case in the history of the NFL. I'm not seeing that. I need to know what the structure is, because I got a lot of friends who work there, and I think they do a really good job, especially around the draft and the postseason. What's the future of NFL Network?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's not really about the caliber of the program. The caliber of the program has always been excellent. And they, you know, I mean, outside of criticizing Roger Goodell, I feel like they've done a really good job of just sort of being informative on, you know, transactions, trades, drafts, et cetera. But the NFL has sort of signaled to you, from cost cuts when it comes to cutting people to even something like moving Good Morning Football to Los Angeles, so they don't have to rent office space anymore, studio space, I should say, in New York City. So they're doing everything to really streamline the cost of the NFL Network entity, because I think they ultimately want someone to purchase that, whether that becomes an ESPN who buys it, or Disney, I should say, who buys it because it's at the corporate level and puts it under them, or it goes somewhere else. I think the NFL ultimately would like to get out of the owning of a network content business and focus on other stuff. That said, that doesn't mean that everything on the NFL Network will go away. I mean, you know, Good Morning Football is a dedicated, loyal audience. Yeah. You wouldn't just shut that down. But everything about the NFL Network over the last 2 years at this point is pointing to cost reduction, because they're looking to make that as streamlined as possible to sell. Where it ends up, I'm not sure, but what I slipped in sort of relates to this. The games that have appeared on the NFL Network that we are used to, let's say over the last 5 to 10 years, ultimately that inventory will go somewhere else. I can't tell you when, but that will happen.
I'm absolutely loving this conversation. Richard Deitz, kind enough to join us. The Sports Media Podcast, last one. Everybody who's listening has their favorite broadcasters. We all grew up with our favorites, and I can only ask this to you because you cover all of sports. I think that Brandel Chamblee on Golf Channel is arguably, I think for me, one of the best broadcasters in the world in regards to an analyst. He is fearless. He'll go after Tiger. He'll go after Phil. He does not like Liv. He made it a moral stand on Liv and the Saudis, and I respected that. I lean more to the PGA than Liv. Now Liv is in control, and they're going to have to do a merger. And I think that Brandel, at the level of Barkley, Collinsworth, all of them, I just love how he can be in the middle of a conversation and then take one hole on a golf course and say, well, that's the way Hogan played it, or that's the way Sam Snead or Tiger played it in 99. Not many guys are that quick and that good, but I feel like Golf Channel and Liv and this potential merger, how is it going to affect the broadcast going forward?
That's a great question. I will be, you know, I'll give this sort of caveat. I think anybody who reads me or listens to me knows I'm not the biggest golf person at all. I watch the majors, and that's about it. But I agree with you on Brandon Chamblee. I think he's a fearless broadcaster. I think he stands for what he believes in. I think he's really good on air, and I think he's smart. Usually the thing I want more than anything else from an analyst is just please educate me. Don't hot take me. Educate me. And I think that guy does that. You ask a question that I don't have an answer for. I mean, at the end of the day with this stuff, traditionally, money is what talks. And whoever controls the network, generally speaking, controls who they put on air. I do think it'd be a pretty bad public relations move to pull a guy who's been critical of Liv if somehow, you know, it sort of gets out there that the Liv forces, you know, ask the Golf Channel to remove him. But the one thing I can tell you is while the networks make these hires in all these sports, the reality is that the leagues sign off. The leagues have to vet the top broadcasters, because if the leagues don't want a top broadcaster, that the network, the rights holder, media partner, is not going to put that broadcaster on the air. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it really will be about whoever is quote-unquote running golf, what they think of the broadcasters that are are being put on air. But listen, Adam Silver, Roger Goodell, Gary Bettman, if they don't want a specific broadcaster on talking about their sport, the rights holders almost always do not push back. They basically just move on.
Fantastic conversation, Richard. I hope we can do this more down the road. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you for the invite. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Richard Deitch, one of the best out there, sports media podcast at SI. And some good broadcasters out there, some great ones. Someone hit me up on Twitter over the last half hour after the schedule, and I just tweeted something out that I think is very interesting as we found out the news about Netflix today getting the Christmas game. So here's the breakdown from a guy named Joe Flint from the Wall Street Journal. There's 272 regular season NFL games, 272 games. 101 are on CBS, 101 are on Fox. So do the math there. Okay, that's 202 out of 272 are split 101-101 with CBS and Fox. 23 games on Disney, ESPN, ABC. So that's 23 games on ABC. That would be, obviously, Monday Night Football, their Monday Night Football schedule, and some playoff games. That's 23. 22 games on NBC. That's 18 Sunday Night Football, Thanksgiving kickoff, Saturday, week 16 in the Peacock game. 16 games are on Amazon. 15 Thursday night football games and the Black Friday game that Raider fans are interested in. Then 7 games are on NFL Network and 2 on Netflix. Okay, so it's still CBS and Fox for 202 of 272. But some gentleman tweeted back at me and he said, this makes for a watered down NFL Sunday ticket. And he's right. The more games you take away from Sunday ticket on the Sunday games, waters down that product that a lot of people are used to. Raider 27, go ahead. Salt Lake City, what do you got?
JT, I just want to tell you I'm happy for your Knicks. I always cheer for teams that have been down and get back going again. So I'm really happy for you. It just makes me feel good when teams that are down get better. If we have to play Miami at Miami, I'd rather play them on a Monday night or a Sunday night rather than play them early in the season during the day in Miami. I think that would be a lot easier for the Raiders. I'd rather start the season with an easier schedule and get off to a good start than get off to a bad start and have to catch up at the end. Love your show. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, JT, man. Appreciate it.
Keep it up. Talk to you later.
Thank you. First off, I agree with him. I'd rather have an easier schedule. Schedules aren't easy. Schedule's going to be released here at 5 o'clock. It's not going to be easy. Okay, the home schedule's easier than the road schedule this year. Fact, not fiction. Look at the winning percentages. I'd like to get an easy game or two early, or a game that the Raiders are supposed to win. What do I mean by supposed to win? Well, a game where they're the favorite. There's not going to be many of them this year where the Raiders are the favorite. So give me two of those games in the first five. And then I start looking and saying, okay, maybe the Raiders could start off the season 3-1 or 2-2 after a month. imagine what Antonio Pierce can do if the team has a above 500 record to start off the season, motivation-wise, instead of having your backup against the wall. You know, this franchise for a while has been snake bit by their schedule because they can't get out of the way of themselves, other than the Jack Del Rio 12-4 year. Other than that, it's been 8-8, you know, it's a 9-win, it's 6-7 wins. It's tough. So you want the schedule to be conducive to getting a win or two that you know you're going to get early and stabilize the season instead of being chasing all year. That's what I hope for, as the schedule is out, but they're going to release it coming up here. And this is emotional, man. I don't know what games mean more to you than others. You know, Steph McKenzie, who works here, she despises Denver. All she asked me today was, when's the Denver game? I go, I can't tell you. I'll tell you five. When's the Denver game, home and on the road? Well, lately, we won 8 in a row against Denver. 8 in a row. You know how hard it is to win 9 in a row, 10 in a row? Just the odds of it are not with you, and they got Sean Payton. But I think we got to win both those games this year. Cleveland at home. That's going to be a game to worry about with tickets. That's a fan base that will buy your tickets, and they don't have the wealth in Cleveland that we have in Vegas. Sorry, they don't. They don't have casinos up and down the strip that are billions of dollars. You ever been to Cleveland? I have. Yeah. I like Cleveland. It's not the Vegas strip. They will pay more for your tickets than arguably anybody. The people that will pay the most for your tickets will always be the Steelers, the Packers, the 49ers. And the Chiefs, obviously, the Chiefs are emboldened now. The Chiefs are garbage for 40 years. For 40 years, the Chiefs didn't buy your tickets. The Chiefs now got Taylor Swift and Mahomes, so they're going to buy your tickets. But Cleveland concerns me when they come here, when they do, whenever it does, because their fans are going to buy tickets. The Steeler fans are going to buy tickets. The other teams that are coming in, I don't think Jacksonville and Atlanta are going to buy a ton of tickets. I don't. The Chargers don't buy any tickets. There's not a lot of Charger fans there. But on the road, Raider Nation will travel. They'll travel to Baltimore, I can promise you. Raider Nation will travel to the Rams and Chargers. We know that. And depending on when the Saints game is, how many Raider fans can get there. It's all about making memories, man. You make more memories traveling and getting on an airplane, going to a game, making friends, than you do at your local sports bar or sitting at home. That's why I'm excited about later on tonight. I want to see some fans energetic for the next couple of days and really have a deep conversation about this schedule. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The good will be, hey, we're talking Raiders, we're closer to the season. The bad will be, I don't like this part of the schedule. And then the ugly, I'll wait till 5 o'clock for that. 702-365-9200, live feed at 5 o'clock on all Raider platforms. Hey, when we come back, congratulations to the Aces. You see the rings they got? Oh, I got a nice ring from the Raiders back in the day. I'd like a bigger one, a Super Bowl ring, if they'd be so kind. How would you like to play or work for the Aces? Did you see that ring ceremony last night with Mr. Brady? Man, the stars are coming out in Vegas for the world champ back-to-back Las Vegas Aces, brought to you by our great friends. Oh, they're unbelievable. Our great, great friends, the 872 Laborers.
Cloud comes down, gives it to Cunningham. Cunningham back over to Cloud, swings it back over to Allen. She'll shoot one of the horn sounds. Back iron, no good. And the Las Vegas Aces start 2024 the way they ended 2023 with a big W. And the Aces put up 89 points on the board, and they defeat the Phoenix Mercury by a final score of 89-80.
That's T.C. Martin on the call as the Aces win to start off the season. We're brought to you by The Black Hole. Go to theblackhole.com, become a member. You can become a lifetime member for under $60. A lifetime member. Believe me, you want this Raiders schedule release, be a part of The Black Hole in time for that, and you'll thank me. Go to The Black Hole. Their website is fantastic. All the discounts, all the events that you'll be invited to, and you'll be able to tell your friends and buddies you're a member of the Black Hole. So the Aces win. They get their rings. I saw that on social media. Threw it on TV. Seen a lot of the celebrities were at the game last night. It's got a good vibe. You know, they just went and saw the White House, the president. They come home, they get their rings, they open up with a victory. And it's a star-studded event with Tom Brady and the owner and everybody else who's there. Football players, saw A.J. Cole and a couple of players there. They're doing a nice job marketing that team. And they should, because it's a championship team and going through a three-peat. That just doesn't happen much in sports. I'm not a historian on the WNBA. You go back to the Houston team. This team has something special in store if they can get it done. So hopefully good for them. Now, Nikola Jokic, I told you, Denver was just fantastic. He had one of the greatest games of all time. So you say, what do you mean all time? You know, Kobe scored 60 in his last, 80 points in a game. Wilt 100. No, this is a playoff game, everybody. The playoffs. He's the reigning champ. He got the MVP the night before. It was, the way I tweeted it out last night, it was a legend playing against a G League team. He was just the best player by far.
Top of the key, Jokic. Jokic, three. Yeah! Denver leads at 106-92.
Jokic is so good, we don't appreciate him because he's from the other side of the world. He collects big horses to pull wagons and hangs out with his brothers and is not a big celebrity here. The game he had was so brilliant that if you watched it, and I watched most of it last night with one of my sons, we were saying at one point, they got Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. Those are two good players. They're all-stars. And he just ate them up and spit them out. Jokic, 41 minutes, 15 of 22 from the field, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 40 points in the game, 13 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. I mean, come on, Denver was down 0-2 in the series, and they've stormed back.
There's the horn in Denver! Let's go, baby! Denver takes a 3-2 lead on Minnesota. They win it tonight by a final of 112-97.
112-97, that's on Nuggets Radio. Afterwards, Mike Malone. I mean, this guy's a good coach. When that team was down 0-2, many members of the media bailed on them and thought they were toast, not their coach.
We know that closeout game is always the hardest game in any series, and they have a great crowd. That place is going to be rocking on Thursday night. We just have to weather the storm, stay with it, and continue to play championship-level basketball.
They're a good team, fun to watch, but not so much boring. That's a big market. Denver's a big sports market. They got a really good team there. And the Astros cheated again. Did you see this breaking news? Ronel Blanco suspended for a foreign substance in his glove, and he was ejected from Tuesday's game after umpires found a foreign substance on his glove. They suspended him for 10 games. Now, the suspension is pending an appeal here if he opts not to. Laz Diaz, the famous umpire, the third base ump, ejected Blanco after a check of his glove before he threw a pitch in the fourth inning. His glove was confiscated and sent to the commissioner's office. Woo! I felt something inside the glove, the ump said. It was some of the sticky stuff I felt on a glove since we've been doing this for a few years now. Sticky icky. The stickiest of the ickiest. So there you go. The Houston Astros, still known as cheaters throughout the league. Trash cans and now sticky substances in their glove. So as I wrap it up, Q is on deck. He's ready to go. He's got a big show. I know Q is really excited because Q is interactive with fans, and he knows the fans want to know the schedule, and you're not going to hear about our schedule until 5 o'clock on the flagship, but, man, Q's going to get you worked up for the right reasons because he knows it's important to you to want to go to these games and to come to the home games and be a part of it. The UK games are set. The Jags will play 2 overseas. Amazing that the Jaguars... Yesterday, they approved $1.4 billion in some riverfront build-out they're going to do in Jacksonville. I was wrong on that because I've always thought that Jacksonville was going to be the first team in London to move there full-time. They play 2 games there every year. And Shad Khan would much rather have a team in England, London, for the net worth than I think the league would, too. I think the league would love to have a team in London and figure out the travel logistics and bye weeks and all that than having a team in Jacksonville, but that's just me. We found out that the Giants are going to appear on Hard Knocks for the first time. Someone texted me that that's probably going to be heavy Darren Waller stuff because it was from the last game until coming up here, and a lot of the drama was from Darren Waller. I hope Darren's in a good place, you know, getting the divorce with Kelsey Plum of the world champs here, the Aces. I hope he is in a good place overall. Because, man, getting a chance to know Darren on a first-name basis over the years is a good guy. He worked the tunnels, raised a lot of money out here. And LeBron attended the draft combine to check out his son. His buzz is getting up there on where Bronny is going to go if he goes in the NBA draft. Tomorrow, we'll debate the schedule release. Actually, I'm previewing Bobby as one of our biggest shows of the year. We'll be live on YouTube. Subscribe and see my reaction to that tomorrow. But tonight, I'm heading to the Raiders. I'll be there at 4 o'clock, and we will go on at 5 on all Raider platforms as the schedule is formally released. And hopefully get your reaction on this, Raider fans. 2 hours where I didn't leak anything. I deserve a pat on the back for that. I'll have a Modelo for that one tonight. Still got a busy day in front of me. All right, everybody, Q's coming up. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great night.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.